Hallelujah, hallelujah, we just love you, Lord. We bless your name, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just bless your name. For you are worthy to receive all glory. You are worthy to receive all honor. Hallelujah. You're worthy to receive all praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. You are awesome indeed. You are marvelous indeed, O God. Hallelujah. You're worthy. Hallelujah. For there is no one like you. Hallelujah. Oh, blessings and honor are yours. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glorious is your name. For you are worthy to receive praise. You are worthy to receive honor. You are worthy to receive glory. Hallelujah. Father God, we just come into your presence this evening with praise and with thanksgiving. And we say, Father God, hallelujah. You are worthy to receive all honor, all glory, all great pleasure. You are worthy to receive our worship. You are worthy. Father God, as we come into your presence, as we come before your throne today, with the intention of studying your word, Father, we say thank you. We say thank you for bringing us together for another week. We say thank you for all of the good things that you have done throughout the week. Father God, as we come and we are able to worship you in spirit and in truth, as we're able to worship you through your word, we say thank you for that freedom. Father, we just ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, that all grace would abound. Father God, we pray for healing. We pray for health. We pray for the presence of the Almighty. Father, I know that we live in a sinful, we live in a fallen world where many people choose to do evil. Many people choose to do wicked things. Many people choose to disrespect the image of God by taking human life. And Father God, we just ask, Lord, that there would be reconciliation and restoration. Father, we know that you are a God of justice, but we also know that you're a God of mercy. Have mercy on those who have been touched by violence. Have mercy on those who have been touched by human greed in a way that's caused them harm. Father God, have mercy on us who know better and yet quite often just stand by the side. Father God, thank you for this time that we can have in your word. And we ask your blessing upon your word as it goes forth this evening. Amen and amen. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to The Balance Point. This is our Thursday night study, and if this is your first time visiting with us here at Balance Point, we welcome you. Pull up a chair. Open up your Bible or scroll in your Bible to Genesis chapter 27. We're continuing our study here in the book of Genesis. If you're a guest, we welcome you to the Balance Point family. If you happen to be watching this on stream with one of our Balance Point family members, we just ask that you just make yourself at home. We ask that if you're a leader at Balance Point, if you're hosting a Balance Point site, that you just make your guests feel welcome. Let them know that they are loved with the love of Christ. Well, we have been studying the book of Genesis, and we've been studying the life of Isaac for the last couple of sessions. And today our focus is going to begin to shift, and we're going to begin taking a look at the life of Joseph. If you are on Facebook, or even if you're watching via YouTube's, you'll note that the title of tonight's lesson is What a Deceiver, Jacob. And this is actually kind of a tough section of scripture for the very simple reason that, you know, we see something that God spoke of being brought to pass, but it's being brought to pass in a way that I personally don't believe that God would have had it happen. And there are some lessons for us as we strive to seek to live as God would have us to live and to function as God would have us to function. But let us dig right in. Genesis chapter 27, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau to him and said, My son. And he, that's Esau, said to him, Here I am. Isaac said, Behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. So then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat it, so that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, I want to stop here at verse 3, and I want to point out that we learned last week that Isaac was fond of Esau. Isaac was fond of the game that Esau would go out and take. Isaac was fond of the meat that Esau would bring back when he would go hunting. However, Rebekah was fond of Jacob. And this is going to be the start of, well, this is going to be the culmination, really, of a problem that was seeded by the fact that that Isaac and Rebekah did not have it together when it came to how they were going to raise their kids. Each parent was showing favoritism to a different child. Now, I'm not one of these sopping people that say that you love each child equally. No, you love each child according to the child. You don't show favoritism to one or the other, but the word tells us that we should bring up our children in the way that they should go, and they will not soon depart. And so, in doing that, you will naturally raise each child differently, but the love for the children is supposed to be the same. It's just that it's going to be manifested differently for each child. And so we have this divide between Isaac and Rebekah and how they treat their children. And now watch in verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. You even here get it a little bit in the language, that there was a divide in how the parents perceived the children. Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son. Well, wasn't Rebekah there when Esau was born? Wasn't Esau just as much her son as Isaac's son? And so we see this differentiation. So when Esau went to the field to go hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son, Was not Jacob Isaac's son? Rebekah said to her son, Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. And so here we see the tension. So Jacob was her son, but Esau, he's Isaac's son. So watch what happens. Now understand, a couple of lessons ago, we saw where the word of the Lord had been spoken to Rebekah about her children. And the word had come to Rebecca that the younger would rule over the older, and the older would serve the younger, because these were children who were going to be very different when they grew up. And last week we saw where Esau despised his birthright, and he literally sold his, he sold his right of the firstborn for a meal. And not even a particularly good meal. It was like a bowl of stew. A bowl of lentil stew, no less. It was bean soup. He sold his right as a firstborn. And now, we're going to see how it works out that he even loses the blessing. So watch this. Verse 8, now therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Now go to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. And then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death. The whole scheme to steal the blessing was Rebecca's idea. Jacob kind of gets a bad rap because, yeah, he does follow through with the scheme. But Jacob's not the one that came up with the scam. It was his mother. It was Rebecca who sought to scam the blessing out of Isaac for Jacob. Remember, God had already said that the blessing would go to Jacob before they were even born. And herein lies the lesson for us. When we have a word from God, we wait on God. We look for the circumstances within which God will make that word come to pass. We don't need to go out of our way to help God. God doesn't need our help. See, this has already happened at least once. You see, a few lessons ago, we learned how God had given the word to Abraham that Abraham would be the father of many nations, and that through Abraham, his descendants would be blessed and would be a blessing to the nations of the world. And God had spoken this promise. But in the meantime, God took his time making the promise come to pass. And Abraham and Sarah got a little bit anxious. And Sarah cooked up the idea, hey, Abraham, take my maid Hagar and have a baby with her. And so we end up with Ishmael. And while God does bless Ishmael, the blessing is going to pass through Isaac, the child of the promise. See, Ishmael was the work of the flesh. He was the child of the flesh. He was the child of impatience. But he wasn't the child of the promise. And so here we see the next generation about to repeat the same thing. They had a promise that was given before Esau and Jacob were even born, that the younger would be the master over the older. And rather than wait for God to fulfill that promise, Rebecca comes up with this plan. Now, here's the interesting bit. Watch Jacob's response. Verse 11, Jacob answered his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. Jacob is like, Mom, this ain't gonna work. Dad may be old, but he ain't stupid. This isn't going to work. Perhaps my father will feel me, and then I will be as a deceiver in his sight. And I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing. Jacob is actually being very practical here. He's like, Mom, you know, if we do this, may go bad. Now, interestingly enough, Jacob wasn't so concerned with doing right so much as he was concerned with the fact that he might get caught. Often we will step out and do things. We will step out and say things. Not because it's the right thing to do. But we will say and do things because we don't want to get caught. It isn't necessarily that we're doing good because we want to be good. We're doing good because we just don't want to get caught. And that was the whole thing with Jacob. Jacob was like, Mom, I don't want to do this because I might get caught. But watch what Rebecca says. But his mother said to him, let your curse be upon me, my son. Only obey my words and go get him for me. Jacob may have been named schemer, heel catcher, but the real schemer was Rebecca. The real schemer in this deal is Rebecca. So he went and got them, and he brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. And then Rebecca took the best garments of Esau, her elder son. Oh, well, let's see. Now that it's time to get the tools of the deception together, now Esau is her son. Uh-huh. Which were with her in the house and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. So watch this. Jacob is now wearing goat gloves and a goat collar. And she also gave the savory food and the bread which she made to her son Jacob. Well, you know, the British have a saying, in for a penny, in for a pound. It's like, well, I guess we're into it now. And then he came to his father and said, my father. And he that said, Isaac said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Okay. From the very beginning, Isaac has some concerns about what's happening. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up, please, sit and eat of my game, that you may bless me. Remember I said Isaac was old, but he wasn't stupid. Here comes the first question. Isaac said to him, how is it that you have gotten it so quickly, my son? See, Isaac liked game. And he knew that it took a while to hunt. You know, hunting isn't something that happens quickly. I mean, unless you just get like super extremely lucky. You know, when you go hunting, I mean, unless you're like hunting pest animals, you know, it takes a while. You got to find the tracks. You got to track the critter. You got to get into a position where you can take the shot. It takes a while. And so Isaac's aware of this. And he says, how is it that you've gotten it so quickly, my son? And he that Jacob said, because the Lord your God caused it to happen for me. Oh, wow. Notice it isn't the Lord my God. But it's the Lord your God. At this point, Jacob does not even acknowledge God as being his God. When we are in the midst of sin, we are in the midst of doing wrong. It's amazing how far we try to push God from our consciousness. It's amazing how far we try to push God from where we're at. All of a sudden it becomes God. All of a sudden it becomes the creator. All of a sudden it becomes the God of my parent. But here's the thing, God is God. God is just as much my creator when I'm sinning as he is my creator when I'm being obedient. But the sin in me pushes God away. On Sunday, this past Sunday, we talked about hell. And we talked about how no one is going to be sent to hell. God is not going to be sent to hell. I mean, not God. God's not going to be sent to hell. God is not really going to send people to hell. And I said, in fact, God has gone out of his way to make it more difficult to go to hell than to go to heaven. God has said, you will go to hell over my dead body. Here's the deal with going to hell. It isn't that God pushes us away. But when we choose to reject God, we push God away. We choose to push away the source of life. We choose to push away the source of liberty. We choose to push away the source of goodness and grace. Here Jacob is in the midst of sin. And it comes through in his language, because the Lord. It's interesting because here in my Bible, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In my Bible, that's my Bible's way of saying the covenant name of God. So, Jacob is saying, the God of the covenant, who is your God, caused it to happen to me. He was far away from God at this point. And then Isaac said to Jacob, please come close that I may feel you, my son. Isaac's still not convinced. You know, I liken this to how God gives us multiple opportunities to come clean. Multiple opportunities. Who are you? I'm Esau. How is it you got the game so quickly? Come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. And so Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him. And he said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. I believe that at this point, Isaac probably knew that it was Jacob. And probably knew that, you know what? This kid's running a scam on me. Well, I mean, by now, Jacob's kind of a man. But, you know, guess what? My boy is running a scam on me. Because Isaac says, the voice is the voice of Jacob. Isaac may have been blind, but he wasn't deaf. And he wasn't dumb. But the hands are the hands of Esau. I believe that Isaac had some suspicion. But the Bible tells us he didn't recognize him. Because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau hands. And so he blessed him. I believe that, yeah, he didn't recognize him. But at the same time, I kind of suspect, just from the language, just from the interplay here, that Isaac was like, well, he's hairy like Esau. I mean, it doesn't sound right. Because this interplay is going to continue. Watch this. Verse 24. Are you really my son Esau? Even after touching the hairy hands, the goat skins that were on the hands, Isaac had questions. And this is this is kind of part of the reason why I really wonder if Isaac really didn't recognize who it was by now. Because he's still questioning. And Jacob said, I am. So he said, bring it to me and I'll eat of my son's game. It's interesting that he doesn't say, bring it to me and I will eat of my son's Esau's game. He says, bring it to me and I'll eat of my son's game and I will bless you. And he brought it to him and he ate. And he also brought him wine and he drank. So, and then his father Isaac said to him, please come close and kiss me, my son. So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelt the smell of his garments, he blessed him. Watch this. All of these questions. I find it hard to believe that this was such a good ruse that Isaac was truly deceived. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Isaac. Isaac, did you really think it was Esau when you blessed him? Because when I read the account and I read how many times you questioned and how each question got more and more specific and even up to the last moment, you are questioning. Did you really think it was Esau? So, Jacob's going to get the blessing. See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. Even up to the point of the blessing, Isaac is still questioning. I really do wonder if Isaac knew. Now it came about, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And then he also made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father now arise and eat his son's game that you may bless me. And Isaac his father said to him, who are you? And he, that's Esau, said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. And then Isaac trembled violently and said, who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate all of it before you came and blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed. Notice Isaac doesn't withdraw the blessing. Isaac said, okay, I blessed him. Yep, he's going to be blessed. I wonder if at that moment, when Isaac trembled violently, Isaac thought back to the prophecy that had been spoken while Rebekah was still pregnant with the twins. And Isaac went, oh, wow, did I almost make the mistake of blessing the wrong one by blessing Esau? And that's what caused the violent response from Isaac. Well, watch this. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me, also my father. Bless me. Bless me. Even me. as parents, I'm going to take a little aside here and hopefully not too long because I'm actually getting short on time. As parents, do we bless our children? Do we bless our children? See, the greatest thing that humans desire is the recognition and the blessing of our children. How often do we see adults who are striving to please a parent that was never able to be pleased, and that parent is long dead, and they're stuck in the cycle of trying to please them because that parent never released the blessing upon the child. How often do we see those who, and I've seen this working with the poor. I've seen this when I've gone into the jails to minister. Men and women who are incarcerated. Men and women who have just kind of given up and dropped out. Who have burned out trying to receive a blessing. We who are older in the Lord and walk in the church, how much good could we do if we were to be men and women of blessing? What good could we see? What healing could we see in our church if we were to take a young person in our church and be the adult that blesses them? Esau cried out with exceedingly great and bitter cry, "Bless me." It's a cry of every human. "Bless me, my father." Much of the hurt, much of the sin that happens in the world is a cry of broken humans saying, "Bless me." And they don't know that they can cry out to God the Father. And they don't know that there's a place, or at least there should be a place called the church, where they can go and they can receive the blessing of their Father. Our churches should be places of blessing, not condemnation. Our churches should be places of healing, not wounding. Our churches should be places of feeding, not fighting. Verse 35. "And your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." And then watch what Esau says. And then he said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times." That's not exactly accurate. But I can understand where Esau is coming from at this point. He's just had the blessing stolen from him. "He took away my birthright." Well, not exactly, Esau. You were complicit in that. You sold your birthright for a bowl of bean soup. Dude, you sold your birthright for a bowl of refried beans. Come on. "And behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" But Isaac replied to Esau, "Behold, I have made him your master. And all of his relatives I have given him as servants. With grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now for you then, what can I do, my son?" Well, we may not receive the blessing from our earthly father, but there's a heavenly father that has a blessing for us. There is a Heavenly Father who has said, I choose to bless you with life. I choose to bless you with the water that will quench your thirst from everlasting to everlasting. I choose to bless you with my presence that will never leave you nor forsake you. I choose to bless you so that you might be my son and not an orphan cast into outer darkness. That's the blessing of our Heavenly Father. You see, our earthly fathers, our earthly parents may not be able to give us a blessing. They may not be able to do that, but our Heavenly Father says, I have a blessing for you. And Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, my father. And Esau lifted his voice and he wept. And then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling. Okay. I don't know how much of a blessing that is. And away from the dew of heaven above, by your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. This is not sounding like a blessing, but it shall come about when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Ooh, I don't know if I call that a blessing so much as a prophecy. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near, and then I will kill my brother. Now then, the words of the elder son were reported to Rebekah, and she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. And then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of both of you in one day? Well, as it's going to turn out, when they send Jacob away, Rebekah will never see her favorite son again. She will end up dying before Jacob returns. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? So Rebekah goes to Isaac and basically runs a line on him. Hey, I'm displeased with the daughters of Heth that Esau has married. And so she uses this as a means of getting Isaac to send Jacob away. And we're going to see Jacob's adventures over the next few chapters. But wow, what a story. What an incident. We learn from it that when we have a promise from God, we don't need to go out of our way to try to help God fill that promise. In fact, we really shouldn't. But instead, we should wait. And we should seek to let God fulfill his promise in his own time, in his own way. We see that, you know what? God has a blessing for each and every one of us. No matter what we might think, our earthly parents, they may not be able to bless us, but God, our Heavenly Father, he'll bless us and he'll keep us. And he'll watch over us. Because he is a faithful God. He is a good God. He's an awesome God. And so we need to consider the faithfulness of God. Father, we just come into your we come into your presence, and we ask, Father God, that you give us wisdom. And Father God, I pray over the people of Balance Point. I pray over those who would be listening, that you would bless them. You would bless them indeed. That, Father God, that you would give them the blessing of the Father. And I pronounce over them the blessing of your grace. I pronounce over them in the name of Jesus the blessing of your love, the blessing of your life. And I say to them, may the God of heaven keep you. May the God of heaven make his face to shine upon you. May the God of heaven guide your steps and your path, that you might receive all that God has designed for you. May the God of heaven place a hedge of protection around you, so that where you stand, the enemy may not approach. Thank you, Father God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time in your word. Father God, right now I pray for those who do not know the love of the Father, who are crying out right now as they are watching and saying, bless me indeed. And I ask, Father God, that you would bless them. That you would bless them with the life of your Son, Jesus. That, Father God, that as they're crying out, they might realize that all they need is a gift of your Son, Jesus. I pray that you would just come to them, and that you would just enfold them in your arms, and in your grace and glory, call them son or daughter. Amen and amen. If you don't have a church home, you really need to get a church home. There's just no way around that. And you need to get plugged in. And we would love it if you were to get plugged into Balance Point. But here's the deal. Any church that calls on the name of Jesus will do. And we'd like to help you get plugged into a good church. You can do that. In fact, I've got our ministry center up there. You can register at our ministry center and we'll get in touch with you. But I'm going to actually throw all of our information up, because it is really important. Up here in the corner of the screen is all of our information. You can email us, staff@balance-point.org. You can message us on our Facebook page. You can message us on our YouTube page. You can message us on our Google Plus page. Shoot, I would say you could Twitter me, but I don't actually monitor Twitter all that much. I need to get better at that. But definitely contact us. You can even mail us. 1998 East, O-R-I-S, that's Oris Street, Willowbrook, or Compton, either city will work, California, 90222. Contact us. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to help get you plugged in somewhere. I really don't have announcements tonight other than get plugged in. Get plugged into a place where you can know the love of our Father in heaven. And may God bless you until we come together again. Amen.